No one knows the orange and black quite like Bags. It's time for the author, journalist, and Twitter sensation, Andrew at Extra Bags Baggerly, with Murph and Mac.
Sponsored by Marin Health, your gateway to better health in the North Bay.
On your home of San Francisco Giants baseball, KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
All right, Andy Baggerly every Wednesday at this time. Checking in. Giants get a big one last night, bouncing back from a 4-0 deficit after Kevin Gausman surprisingly serves a couple up. But the Giants answer, get the 7-6 win.
Fun game.
Yeah. All stuff to talk about. The 7-4 Giants.
Yeah, man.
Andy Baggerly of The Athletic at this time on Wednesdays. What's up, Andy? How are you, man?
Hey, Bags.
Doing good. That was a fun one last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
And you would have thought a night like that, I mean, you give me a 50-whatever-degree night and the cold wind and Gausman and Castillo, you're not getting four homers in the first inning, but baseball, Andy, right?
That's it.
Baseball. Baseball, exclamation point, baseball. Yeah, it's, you know, like the previous night, Evan Longoria just crushed two balls, and both of them I thought would have been out last year, and I thought, well, you know, it's just the Giants' fault for not starting every season in July instead of in August. Or in April, I should say. You know, it's colder and the ball just isn't going to travel like it did at the outset of last season. But then you look at the way the ball was traveling, the way the guys were making contact yesterday, and I think it helps that both pitchers were throwing really hard, and sometimes pitchers provide some of the power. That's what Mike Yastrzemski said about his home run, which was actually the hardest hit ball he's ever hit in the major leagues, according to StatCast.
Oh, really?
And then from there, yeah, you get a game that an inning you've never seen before in the ballpark, where you get two run home runs from both teams in the first inning. But then you really saw the way the Giants scored from there, and it was pretty impressive how they manufactured. They got on base, you know, they really worked counts. It was the kind of offense that we saw last year, and I thought that was probably the best sign of the night.
Yeah, it did feel like 2020 for sure. That brief season kind of remade our opinions of the Giants, and last night felt like it. Yastrzemski, Crawford, and Longoria. Let's pull back and go big picture, Andy. If I said, hey, Andy, you're going to be doing the show with Murph and Mac on Wednesday, April 14th after 11 games, will the Giants be 7-4? Probably the answer would be no, or what do you think? Meeting expectations or exceeding?
Well, I don't know. I mean, their schedule is not exactly the most rigorous schedule out of the gate. I mean, you had three games with the Padres that ended up not having Fernando Tatis Jr. for a couple of them. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Rockies, we know they have trouble scoring at AT&T Oracle Park. Still getting used to that one. The Mariners are not predicted to be a 500 team this year. And the Reds, I think, are a good team, but not necessarily an elite team. So, you know, it is probably not a soft part of the schedule, but it isn't necessarily facing the Dodgers, you know, 15 times in a month and a half span, which they're going to have later this season. So, yeah, it's a good start for them, and we'll see how they match up when they start facing the Mets and the Braves and some of the tougher teams in the National League.
All right. Well, and then, you know, this road trip will get a little interesting, too. Hey, just a quick thought now on today. Cueto, today, after that sensational performance on Friday with Buster Posey, Mike Kruko speculated with us, and I'm sure we'll get the lineup any minute now, or maybe you already have it. I don't know. That Casale would likely catch today because of a day after night with Thursday off, and you can rest Buster. If he does, is that, you know, if Johnny Cueto had such beautiful music with Buster, aren't you sort of tempted to put him back out there?
No, they could check in with Buster and see how he's feeling. But you're right, it's a day game after a night game. It's a long season. It's not like you're handing it off to somebody who's really green. Kirk Casale, I think, has shown he's pretty good. I mean, you looked at how he caught Anthony DeSclafani the other day and the way he guided him through that sixth inning. That was just really impressive, blocking the curveball and then calling for another one with a runner on third base and getting two strikeouts to get out of that inning. Kirk Casale, I think, has been pretty impressive. And both Casale and Posey show you just what veteran catching can do for you. And when we saw a really inexperienced bunch last year, and I think that that probably has a lot to do with how well the pitchers are performing this year. But that's the thing, is you don't have to force your starters in there or overextend them, because this is a team that's got a lot of depth. You saw six pinch hit appearances last night, and they derived a lot of value from those pinch hit appearances. And it kind of dawns on you when they pinch hit for Tommy La Stella, who's 3-for-3. With Donovan Solano to get a right-on-left matchup. Solano draws a walk. He ends up scoring the tie-breaking and winning run. And that tells you right there that they're going to lean into this bench. This is not just a strategy willy-nilly. They're going to really, really lean on this bench in any game that's going to be a back-and-forth or a tight affair. And that's the way you combat this three batter minimum rule. They really thought about this is a way that they can do it by creating this depth, this bench. That's what they've got. They deployed it, and it really helped them win a ballgame yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Farhan, people say, what does he do well? Well, create depth is what one of the answers, and for sure, you're seeing it. As you just mentioned, six pinch hit appearances. We're talking to Andy Baggerly of the Athletic. Giants get the win last night, 7-6. Day game today, 12:45. Tyler Molly for the Reds, right-hander against Johnny Cueto. So Giants should finish up already a 4-1 homestand. Could make it 5-1 before they take off on a road trip. Hey, a big picture here on Cueto. Just do one of these sort of ESPN hot take things here. Like, his future this year, do you think, is he a guy who you'd keep an eye on as we get closer to the summer, as maybe a contender would be interested in him and Farhan can get something for him? Or maybe the Giants would be that contender and you keep him? I don't know. Are you starting to think about that down the road?
Well, I mean, we've seen that if they're in contention, they're not necessarily going to make white flag trades. They do believe that this group can contend. They know what the challenge is, especially within their division. But, I mean, that's sort of been their mission statement is, hey, you know, we are building. We're not going to necessarily, you know, make a bunch of deals and trade, you know, Zach Wheelers for Carlos Beltran at the trade deadline and be all in on this season. But, you know, we're not going to look to make the best deals we can to jettison guys if we're in this thing. And they certainly believe they're going to be in this thing. So I think they would probably counter by saying, hey, let's back up and wait and see what the standings say as we get closer to July 31. But if they do fall out of it, if all of this blows up, it doesn't work out, you know, and they've got a number of guys who are performing well, which, you know, obviously some other things would have to go wrong for them to fall out of contention by that point. But they could have a lot of different pieces that would interest contending teams. And obviously that's a situation they hope they're not going to be in when they get closer to that trade deadline.
Yeah, for sure. Something to watch. Truth serum, if you gave, speaking of what you do at the trade deadline, Andy, if you gave Farhan the truth serum from 2019, would he go back and trade Bumgarner at the All-Star break? Or the trade deadline?
I mean, everything's in context. I think if you gave the Diamondbacks some truth serum, they wouldn't have given Bumgarner the contract they gave him. That's really looking like it's turning into a frustrating situation all the way around. And even they even kind of stepped in some bad luck with the way they structured that contract, because Bumgarner made like next to nothing in the first year of that $80 million deal. It was like, what, $3 or $4 million? And that ended up being the year where everybody had forfeited two-thirds of their salary. So, you know, they're really going to wear it on this contract if Bumgarner can't turn it around. And but in terms of the Giants, you know, that was a place in time. Bruce Bochy was still the manager. They were still kind of in it. You know, you still had, quasi-sellout crowds. You know, Bumgarner is a legend for the franchise. I don't think that they were really being bowled over by what they were being offered. So, you know, you look at the sort of marginal gain they would have gotten by trading him. I don't think that they necessarily regret that at this point. You know, and same with Will Smith. They turned him into a draft pick, and they've got another player in their system because of that. So that's probably better than they would have gotten if they had tried to deal him on the open market.
Man, it's just, I guess people look at the moves you make and then you don't make, and not signing Bumgarner, which of course upset a lot of us Giants fans on an emotional level, is turning out to be one of Farhan's best moves, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, it's you know, I heard this from some other people in the game, that when the Giants made the trades for McCutchen and Longoria, and kind of a desperate effort to keep the top spinning in that, 2018 season. And it didn't work out. And they gave up a bunch of young players and took on more payroll, which they're going to continue to pay Longoria for another year or two. And, you know, he's a productive player. He's obviously off to a great start. This is not saying he's a sunk cost by any means. But sabermetrically, analytically, they weren't the best trades to make in terms of a team's long-term future. And there were other teams in the NL West that were kind of high-fiving, saying, hey, look, the Giants are kind of burying themselves with these deals. And I think that there were probably some people, they'd never say it, but I would not be surprised if there were some people in the Giants front office that were kind of high-fiving that the Diamondbacks did that to themselves with Bumgarner.
Yeah, wow, man, crazy, crazy stuff. Hey, back to the Giants roster, currently 2021. I see Alex Wood, who was signed in the offseason as a starting pitcher, may be ready to be healthy pretty soon. Is there a decision they have to make?
Yeah, so Melissa Lockhart wrote a great, great piece talking to both AAA managers, the A's and Giants, about the alternate site and what's going on there. And that's up this morning, so give that a read at theathletic.com. But Alex Wood went 4 innings. I think he threw first pitch strikes to 15 of 19 batters, according to Johnny Doskow, great announcer there. And the next step could be that he's in the big leagues. And Gabe Kapler said a couple of things. They're still looking at Wood as a starter, and they're not looking at a six-man rotation. So they still only have two right-handed relievers, Matt Whistler, whose last outing was really good, and Tyler Rogers, who basically threw wiffle balls and made three great Reds hitters look terrible last night. Yeah. But you can't throw Rogers every day. He led the National League in appearances last year. I do think they're probably going to look to beef up that right-handed relief corps. And whether it's Aaron Sanchez or maybe more likely, I think Logan Webb moves to a long relief role, that could be a way that they could beef up their right-handed relief. Because Webb, you know, has tried not to be too predictable with that changeup, but it's a great pitch. But if he's used in relief, then that pitch could really play up. So, you know, I don't know if that's what they're thinking or what they're going to do or if they're considering that, but it would make a whole lot of sense from my perspective.
Wow, interesting. After he had such a great spring, already thinking that that's a possibility of him leaving the rotation. But
it's not a demotion. It would be a way to say, look, this is the way we can leverage what you do well. We really think you've got a lot of value. This is not, don't look at this as being a downgrade, you know, even though maybe he might look at it that way. And that's what a manager has to do. You know, you have to tell a Tommy La Stella, hey, you know, this is not the reverse of a vote of confidence in you because you're 3-for-3. We don't think, hey, you're not going to get a hit in this situation, but we got Donovan Solano here, and we think that he's, you know, an even better option. We have a lot of confidence in him. So that's what their messaging has to be as they ask guys to take on different roles that they may not want to take on. And I think so far, and it's hard to say because we're not in the clubhouse, but they seem to have been pretty successful.
No, you're right. That's the job. That's when you got to be the people person. That's when it's no longer analytics. You got to convince Logan Webb and all these guys what they're doing is best for him. Last couple ones for you here, Andy. One is Tyler Rogers. I mean, you've written about him, and he was a revelation in 2019 and 2020, right? And then wasn't there a story about the players in Scottsdale wearing free Tyler Rogers T-shirts like as far back as like 2017 or 18? Isn't there an anecdote there or something?
I don't know if that made it on a T-shirt, but that was certainly something that was said. I remember going to minor league camp spring before last, and I was doing a collaboration piece with Dan Hayes, our Twins writer, about the Rogers identical twins. And no one had really written about them yet. And so it was cool because I went to the minor league side to talk to Tyler. And, you know, this is a guy who he wasn't on the 40-man roster. He wasn't even invited to major league camp. And no one could really understand why he was just being hidden like this. And maybe part of that was the Giants literally hiding him. But, you know, clearly had to be patient and wait for an opportunity that he deserved before he got it. And at that time, you're thinking, why is this guy even in minor league camp? But I go there and I go to interview him and he says, hey, can we pause for a second and can we go in the food room? And I said, sure. Why? And he said, well, my brother's about to pitch in the Twins exhibition game. I'd like to watch it. So I'm watching him watch his brother. And then I'm watching everybody else in the food room watching him watch his brother. Wow. And they look exactly alike. And it was just a trip. It was just a fun scene to be a part of.
That's cool. He's a great story. And what he did to their 2-3-4 guys last night was crazy, man. All right. And hey, before we let you go, I heard you talking about with Papa and Lund. And now that he's logged a few more, Aaron Rodgers is getting rave reviews as a Jeopardy champ. You're giving him a thumbs up, and can he surpass Ken Jennings?
Ooh.
I think he's pretty good. He's very, very deliberate, right? I don't know how many shows you've watched, but the pacing is very, very fluid, very slow. He always kind of keeps it together. And, you know, one thing I mentioned to Pop and Lund was, you know, I read a story that Aaron Rodgers had studied a lot of tapes of Alex Trebek and really was trying to mimic him in a lot of different ways. Even how he would say off we go as he starts the board good for you during an interview segment. You know, a lot of the you know, that's the bridge. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not always saying correct. So the fact that he studied it like he would study game film of a defense. I love it. I think that's great.
Well, like you said, he takes his time. That's what he does when he goes through his reads. He takes his time. So great stuff. All right, Andy. Fun chat as always. We'll keep reading you at The Athletic and talk next week.
All right. Take care. Thanks, guys.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.